The following talk was given by Norm Randolph at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on February 9, 2025. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you all for coming today. I'm just going to talk about Zen practice a little bit. Our practice is to be aware here and now without expectations and without being caught up in our one-sided ideas, assumptions, and beliefs. Usually when people start out in Zen practice, they have lots of expectations of gain and improvement, and they're caught up in ideas and beliefs about themselves, others, and the nature of reality. But to truly carry out Zen practice is to let go of expectations and beliefs and just be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. This is to live as we truly are. This is our practice, to live as we truly are. In this practice, it becomes directly evident that we are living inseparably from all beings. Our true life is the life of all beings, functioning together inseparably here and now. Since we're inseparable from all beings, each being we meet is our own life, and realizing this is the basis of compassion. In this practice, it also becomes directly evident that each seemingly separate being is a manifestation of totality here and now, wholeness here and now, universal reality here and now, or life of all beings here and now. The here and now reality, which is directly experienced here and now, is an all-inclusive reality of wholeness, totality, and universality. It is boundlessly great beyond comparison. So all the seemingly separate beings that are manifestations of it are great beyond comparison. And realizing this is the basis of respect for ourselves and all beings beyond our conventional ideas of respect. A seemingly separate being or situation is manifesting totality here and now, or life of all beings here and now, in its own unique way. In our practice of awareness here and now, we try to find the best way to take care of each seemingly separate, uniquely manifesting being or situation that we meet here and now. And this we find there's no rules for this, really. We find it case by case in a practice of here now awareness, how to take care of the situations and individuals and phenomena that we meet with. This practice helps all beings and helps all beings to help us. This practice is to fully live the life of all beings here and now, in which all beings are functioning inseparably and mutually influencing and assisting each other. The life of all beings, which is our true life here and now, functions and manifests itself in such a way as to bring about the appearance of separation of self and others. This functioning of the life of all beings also brings about the appearance of duration in time and the appearance of extension in space. Conventionally speaking, reality seems to consist of separate individuals, things, and phenomena that persist through time and move through space and interact with each other to cause other separate things to appear and other separate events to take place. reality seems to be this way. This is how the reality looks, conventionally speaking. With wholehearted awareness here and now, which is carried out in Zen practice, it can be directly realized that ultimately separation of self and others, duration and time and extension and space cannot actually be found. The appearance of separation of self and others, the appearance of duration and time, and the appearance of extension and space are empty, illusory manifestations of here-now reality or life of all beings. But these appearances are not to be ignored. These appearances are how here-now reality shows up, how here-now reality manifests. If we ignore these appearances, we're ignoring here-now reality. Though conventionally speaking, there seem to be separate beings, times, places, situations, emotions, thoughts, desires, activities, and events to which names, labels, ideas, personal pronouns, and conceptual categories can be applied. In accordance with how things appear to be and in accordance with conventional speech, we use names, labels, ideas, personal pronouns, and conceptual categories. We try to get along and function and communicate in the conventional, seemingly dualistic world where there seems to be separation of self and others without being caught by the one side of belief that there actually is this separation. In the practice of awareness here and now, we let go of our attachment to any one-sided ideas or belief. Even the ideas of oneness or no separation or wholeness or totality, we don't cling to any belief in how things are at all. Then we can be kind and helpful to ourselves and others as we are, without being caught up in our one-sided ideas and beliefs of who and what we are. We can help all the seemingly separate beings without being caught by the one-sided belief that they actually are separate beings. Also, we can take care of the life of all beings, which all beings are living one inseparable life, without being caught up in a one-sided belief in oneness. Also, we can use ideas and concepts without being caught by the belief that here now reality or life of all beings exactly corresponds to these concepts. Our practice is to fully live as the life of all beings here and now without being caught up in our limited one-sided beliefs and ideas. This is to live as we truly are. When we see we're caught up in our limited one-sided ideas and beliefs, be aware. Resume the practice of being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. Not being aware here and now because you want to get some reward for doing that. Just be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. In this practice of being aware here and now, our attachments to these ideas and beliefs can naturally drop away by themselves. And we can live as we truly are, beyond any ideas of who we are. Our practice is to see and let go of how our true life is ignored, and to fully live our true life, to fully live our true life, which is the life of all beings, which is being directly experienced here and now. This practice helps all beings and helps all beings to help us and helps all beings to help all beings. This is to fully participate and directly experience here and now reality as it is and to live as we truly are. So our practice is to be aware here and now without expectations. Just practice being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. But usually when you hear this, we think, well, I, separate ego self, me, am doing something in particular called being aware here and now. But eventually, it can be directly realized that awareness here and now is what we truly are. We're not separate individuals who are doing something in particular called being aware here and now. We're just being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. And this being aware here and this awareness here and now, or awakeness here and now, is what we truly are. And this statement is not an idea to be grasped and believed. This statement is a pointer to help us in our investigation of, or this statement is a pointer to help us in our investigation of directly experienced here now reality. It is to help us directly realize who we truly are. So what we truly are is this reality of awareness or awakeness. And each being is a manifestation of this awareness or awakeness. The technical term for this awareness or awakeness is Buddha nature. And this is the beginningless, endless, all-inclusive, subjectless, objectless awareness or awakeness itself. And each being is manifesting this awareness or awakeness in its own unique way. And Katagiri Roshi used to point to this, and he did very strongly point to this in the last lecture that he gave shortly before he died. He emphasized very strongly, he said to us who were listening to the lecture, he said, "You are Buddha. All beings are Buddha." And all beings are Buddha, and that all beings are manifestations of Buddha nature, this awareness or awakeness, which is our true life. And ultimately, practice not a means to become an awakened person or a Buddha. Practice is to be the Buddha or awareness or awakeness that you are right now, and to respect each being as a Buddha beyond our conventional ideas of respect and beyond our conventional ideas of Buddha. Our true life, our true self, our true nature is the Buddha nature. Practice is to see and let go of how our Buddha nature is ignored and to fully live as the Buddhas that we truly are. So this was what Katagiri Roshi emphasized very strongly in his last lecture. But Katagiri Roshi wasn't trying to give us an idea to grasp and believe. What he was trying to do was to give us a suggestion to help us directly realize our true life as it is beyond any idea of what it is. So, once again, Zen practice is to live as we truly are. And already we're living as we truly are. Already we're living our true life. We're living as our true self. But what we truly are is usually ignored. When we first start out in practice, we usually think of practice as a means or technique for gain and improvement for the ego self that we imagine ourselves to be. And we're usually, when we first start out, very much caught up in our ideas and beliefs and expectations about ourselves, others, and the nature of reality. We're caught up in the sense that we believe reality matches or corresponds to the ideas, beliefs, and expectations that we have about it, and we live our lives based on this belief. This is how our true life is ignored. So our practice is to see and let go of how our true life is ignored and live as we truly are. And to carry out this practice is to be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. Not for egocentric gain, but just to be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. In this practice of here now awareness, when it becomes evident that we are caught up in our expectations and caught up in our one-sided ideas and beliefs, let go of them by resuming the practice of being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. And this practice of here now awareness, expectations and ideas and beliefs can drop away by themselves. It becomes evident that true reality could not match or correspond to the ideas and beliefs that we have about it. Our true life, our true self, our true nature is what is being directly experienced here and now. No matter what we say about it, our true life, our true self, our true nature cannot be explained, described, or conceptually pinned down. It cannot be seen objectively. Nevertheless, it's already clear and obvious. It's being directly experienced here and now, and everything is a manifestation of it. It's not something that could be hidden. But we're usually very confused about what our true life is. And this is because we believe so deeply that our true life corresponds to the one-sided ideas, beliefs, and expectations that we have about it. And we live our lives based on these ideas and beliefs and ignore directly experienced here now reality. When it becomes evident that this is going on, resume the practice of being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now, as I mentioned before. In this practice of here now awareness, these our expectations, ideas, and beliefs can drop away by themselves. It becomes directly evident that true reality, our true life, our true self could not correspond to the ideas and beliefs and expectations that we have about it. Although whatever we say about our life doesn't completely stay as still, we have to say something. Katagiri Roshi used to emphasize this very strongly. He said, the teachers have to say something, otherwise no one will understand. And teachers have to help their students in the students' investigation of direct here-now experience. They have to give pointers to their students. And these pointers or suggestions are meant to be suggestions to help the students in their investigation of directly experienced here-now reality. The teacher does not want the students to grasp, cling to, and believe what is said. Instead, the teacher is trying to offer helpful suggestions to help the students directly realize and live their true life. In doing this, the teacher might speak in terms of conventional common sense assumptions and appearances and ideas in which reality appears, seems to be dualistically structured. The teacher might also speak in terms of oneness or wholeness or totality or Buddha nature. He might use those ideas, but he doesn't want the students to grasp, cling to, and believe the ideas that he uses. The teacher is trying to help give suggestions to his students to help them realize their true life beyond any ideas of what their true life is. I've been saying that the practice of living as we truly are is to be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. And at first people think, I, separate ego self, me, am doing something called being aware. But eventually in this practice it can be realized that directly experienced awareness here and now is what we truly are. And this statement is not an idea to be grasped and believed. The statement is a pointer to help us in our investigation of directly experienced here now reality, and to help us deeply realize what we truly are, and to help us directly realize what this practice of living as the true self, as we truly are, actually is. And in this practice of that I've been talking about, a joyful life is possible. But this is not our conventional idea of joy. It's not a joy that we describe, or that we try to get. It's not a joy that is an egocentric joy. It's not something that can be seen objectively or understood conceptually. This joy is letting go of our grasping and our egocentric one-sided ideas and beliefs, and fully living out here now reality, fully living as we truly are. But this is not something that we understand in a conventional common sense way. It's not something that can be seen objectively or understood conceptually. It's just living our life as it is beyond any idea of what our life is. This is the joy of living as we are in harmony with reality, in harmony with all beings. This is to fully participate in the life of all beings, for all beings are functioning together inseparably, mutually assisting and helping each other. But it's beyond any idea we can grasp, beyond any idea we can understand conceptually. We just have to realize it directly. I can't explain it. This is the joy of living without the confusion of being caught up in our egocentric, one-sided views. This is how reality is ignored, because we're holding on to our views and ideas and beliefs and expectations. We ignore the actual direct experience. And by holding on to our egocentric, one-sided views, this is the joy of living inseparably from all beings who are mutually assisting each other. All beings are functioning together inseparably, mutually assisting each other. This is the joy of living that life. And the joy of living, of having the opportunity in each moment to express our gratitude to all beings and to fully participate in this reality where all beings are mutually functioning together and mutually unobstructedly helping each other. It's not to get the idea of it. It's to really directly live it and be it. Doesn't make sense at first. It's probably better not to try and figure this out. The best thing about trying to figure things out is it eventually becomes clear you can't figure it out. You have to directly realize it, directly see it. The Zen teacher Dogen used to say, this practice is an all-inclusive practice, mutually benefiting self and others. This is how Dogen, a very important teacher in our lineage, described this practice. But Dogen wasn't trying to give us an idea to grasp. Dogen was just pointing, trying to give us a helpful suggestion to help us in our investigation of direct here now reality. So how long did that take? Not too long. I thought I'd gone on too long there. Maybe you thought I'd been going on too long. But do you have any questions or comments about anything I've said? Yes?
In the past, given meditation instruction and it seems like a question that comes up in some ways is, how do we figure out how to do a formal sitting? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, what you would normally describe in meditation instruction for teaching people how to sit, what to do.
Well, try to have a straight up and down posture as much as possible. And follow the instructions of the person giving who gives the suggestions about how to sit. And it makes a big difference. If we're sitting slumped over and it's harder to be aware. It's harder to really appreciate what our life experience is. It's too easy to get caught up in daydreams, caught up in our thoughts and ideas. And so it's best to follow what the teacher says on that. And it's usually they'll give some suggestions which make it easier for us to realize what this practice is.
It makes me think of what you said there about trying to figure things out. But what I'm hearing in your talk here is that just kind of feels like the spirit of simplicity there, but I'm not sure what you would tell people. You know, if the notion came up that, you know, how do I figure out how to sit?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out.
Well, do your best to be aware here and now. Mm-hmm. And sitting up straight, mouth closed, teeth together, tongue on the roof of the mouth, eyes looking down. That's more conducive to directly realizing what it is, rather than trying to conceptually figure it out. Did you want to ask more?
No, thank you. Okay. I think you, an earlier thing you said too about just when we notice we're kind of chasing after an idea, just to resume. Yeah. Just to resume, it's as simple as that, basically.
Yeah, when we notice that we're completely caught up in our belief that reality matches the our ideas and beliefs about it. We believe that what we think about it, what we believe, what we expect about reality is exactly how it is. We believe that, and that's how the reality is overlooked.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe that's it, huh? On the questions? Okay. I wanted to mention that I've started to get ready to go to a senior center. I've been declining physically and mentally lately, and it seems that it's time that I make this move to a senior center. And I won't be going right away, but probably within a couple months. But I wanted to say that I very much enjoyed being here at Dharma Field. I've really liked the people that I've met here and enjoyed practicing together with you. And I have very wonderful feelings and memories about that. People have been very kind to me, and I really enjoyed practicing together with all of you. I don't want to say too much more about it other than just what I said, but I will say more later on. But I wanted to mention that I do have the need to leave because I'm going downhill pretty fast. Anyway, I should be around for a while longer. But thank you very much for coming today. And all of you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.